right now we join together, because the Bible says if one can put 1,000 to flight, come on, then two can put 10,000 to flight. So we unite our faith right now, and we speak to this coronavirus in the name of Jesus. Lord, we drive it away in Jesus' name. Father, for North Carolina, we go on lockdown tomorrow at 5. But we speak to North Carolina right now, God. I pray in Jesus' name that you would protect North Carolinians, that you would drive this virus out of our state. Every state in the union, Lord, drive it out. Drive it out of our nation, God. Let us be a nation that fears the Lord, that we use our money that says the truth and the reality. And God, we trust. Let us trust you again, Lord. Some trust in horses and chariots, but we trust in the name of the Lord that the Bible declares is a strong tower. And in the times of difficulty, we run. The righteous run to Christ. And we find rest and we find peace. Because even in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Listen as we sing it one more time. Together once more. Oh Lord my God, you are my shepherd. Praise the Lord. Praise God.
Oh, the enemy comes in the evening. My shepherd was there all along. Oh, the enemy comes in the evening. My shepherd was there all along. Yes, the enemy comes in the evening. My shepherd was there all along. Oh, the enemy comes in the evening. But my shepherd was there all along. Sing it one time with me. Oh, the enemy comes in the evening, but my shepherd was there all along. The enemy comes in the evening, my shepherd was there all along. Shepherd was there all along.
Father, thank you for watching over us all night, all day. Angels watching over me, my Lord, all night. The angels encamp around about those who love and fear the Lord. Our shepherd was there all along. Thank you, God. Father, meet with us today. Meet with us today. Speak to our hearts. Thank you for worship. Thank you for a time of declaring your worth, God, musically. Thank you for the gift of music. It's rich. It doesn't add sorrow to us. It pulls us out of the rough places. And so we sing a song of blessing. A song of blessing, a song of praise. Oh, Lord, our God, you are our shepherd. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in the presence of the Lord. We would normally take up offering this time, and so if you're giving by online methods, God bless you. Thank you for serving the Lord and worshiping Him through giving. Pushpay is our method. If you don't have that, if you can text 77977, that's the number, 77977, you can simply text CSIC app to 77977. And you can do online giving. We've had people to drop it off at the church today. People to call and say, hey, I got a couple of weeks of tithes here. What do I do with this? So we appreciate your faithfulness in giving. And pray for those churches. You know, there's so many churches that are not set up electronically. Aren't you glad that 7 or 8 years ago we walked into this arena of electronic giving? Today we're about 60% strong on that method. So we thank God for those who use that. Dealing with anxiety. That's what we want to talk about today. Wow, what a topic, huh? Are you surprised? Dealing with anxiety. And I want to speak to you one verse. This is a powerful verse. John 16, verse 33. John 16, verse 33. Share the broadcast if you're watching right now. It's a great time for people to connect with the Word of God. And I appreciate you doing that. Dealing with anxiety. John 16, 33. Jesus is speaking here, and this is what he says. He says, I have told you these things. And if you look at, first of all, you scratch your head and say, what is he talking about, these things? Well, if you look ahead, he discusses the issue of grief. He discusses the issue of grief and loss. And he's speaking to disciples. Remember this. He's speaking to disciples, those who are listening to him, that have heard the master's words, I'm going to leave you. Come on. How would you feel if you had the master of the wind and the waves with you? How would you feel if you had the one who could turn water into wine? Come on. How would you feel if you had the one who could take a little boy's lunch and turn it into the first classy buffet? Come on. And he would leave you. And he would talk about going away. How would you feel? You would be anxious. What are we going to do? The disciples said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. And so they're grievous about what the Lord is saying here. And you know what he says? He said, I've told you these things so that, catch this, in me. Somebody say, in me. In me you may have peace. You know what? You don't find peace in a pocketbook. Oh, it helps to have money. I got a little jingle in my pocket today. Thank the Lord. You got a little jingle in your pocket today. Thank God. You got money in the bank. You got food. They made it hard for you because the shelves are empty, right? But you've got peace in your heart that doesn't come from the grocery store. It doesn't come from the bank account. It comes from right relationship with Christ. Little teach, preach today. Come on, put your seatbelt on. And so he said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Because why? Check out what he says here. The Bible's doing the preaching, not me. In this world, Jesus said, you will have what? Trouble, tribulation. But take heart. Listen to me, online audience. Take heart. Jesus said, don't worry about the things that are happening in the world. Don't worry about the issues of life. Why? Because I have overcome the world. Amen? I'll never forget my very first journey to Israel. Back in 1994, this church right here, Carpenter Shop International Church, the leaders in those days gave me the gift of a trip to Israel. How did that happen? Well, Pastor Joy, I was turning 33 years old. That was a couple of years ago. Come on. Amen. Well, that was a long time ago. Today I'm 59. So I was 33. I was the Jesus age. Come on. And I was turning 33, and the leaders went to Pastor Joy, and they said, Joy, tell us, what could we give your husband to be a blessing to him? And she comes back with a question. You know what her question was? How much money are you talking about? Smart woman, huh? She says, is there a limit? She asked, and they said, well, within reason, but not really. Wow, what would you like, Pastor Joy? She said, there's something that I would love for my husband to do. I would love for you to invest in him, a journey to Israel. Somebody asked me the other day, because we're going again in 21, why you go to Israel so much? I said, man, it started a long time ago, 1994. My wife arranged with the blessing of a trip for me, and it revolutionized my life and ministry. I've learned so many things. And so I keep on going. And I remember going for the first time and experiencing not only Israel, but also Jordan. The Hashemite kingdom of Jordan was there just a few months ago. And in Jordan, I enjoyed the east bank of the Jordan River that runs right smack dab through the promised land. I have fond memories of Jordan. I have memories of great food. Come on, somebody, you hungry yet? I have memories of great food. I have memories of Arab Turkish coffee, a little different than the coffee I'm drinking today. This is not Arab Turkish. This is just regular old Colombian coffee that you get anywhere. Arab Turkish coffee, a little different kind of coffee, but good coffee. I have memories of that. I have memories of amazing culture. I have memories of looking at the burial site of Moses. And the city of Petra, that rose-red city as old as time, where Indiana Jones was filmed, was just there a few months ago as well. Have memories of seeing all those things and just taking it all in. That's where the Jews will be protected during the tribulation, those who embrace Messiah during that 7 years of tribulation on the earth. And they'll be protected and housed in the city of Petra, city of rock. I remember lots of images in my mind about my first trip to Israel, but you know what I remember? You're going to say, wow, why would you remember that? I remember a man standing on a street corner. He was a businessman. He was clad in a suit of clothing and a nice tie and shiny shoes, and everything looked well, but in his hands, he was standing there on the corner, and he had a string of beads. And in his hands, he was rolling those beads around. And I said to the guide, his name was Hani. I never will forget that. I said, Hani, what is this man doing on the corner? We were sitting at the stoplight. I said, what is this man doing? He's just rolling these beads over in his hands. Check out the picture I put up there for you. He said, oh, those are worry beads. I said, what? He said, he's got a lot on his mind. I said, well, look at him, man. He looks the part. He looks like everything is just great. He said, yeah, I said, what's he worrying about? He said, probably the price of oil. He has a lot on his mind. He's filled with anxiety. I remember the 1990s in America. I did a study one time on anxiety. And there was a lady by the name of Catherine Hettinger. Catherine had come up with a little device to assist young students, kids in school who struggled with ADD and ADHD, that's what I have, if you're wondering. ADHD, autism, and the like. She had come up with a little device, and it didn't really make a big dent in society at the time, but they put it in the school systems, and they were using this little thing just for those special needs kids. And you know what it was called? A fidget spinner. Got one in my pocket today. There you go. This has got Carpenter Shop on it. We use it for promotional purposes. If you're dealing with fidgets, come see us, all right? So a fidget spinner. And guess what? In the 90s is when this thing came out, but it didn't make it big until, remember, a couple of years ago, 2017? They were everywhere. Every time you went and bought a Pepsi at the convenience store, fidget spinners on the counter. Everybody was using them, playing with them. Not people who had anxiety, people who just wanted one just to spin it. Why? Because anxiety is a problem. It kept your mind off of things. And so it's not just for oil tycoons in the Middle East for worry beads, and not just for challenged students in American classrooms, and not just something to have fun with. Why? Because anxiety is an issue for us all. Even though the Bible says, here we go, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. That's easier said than done, isn't it, Lewis? It's easier said than done. Jesus is leaving his disciples, and in the book of John, he was telling them that upon his leaving, they would face issues in their life. In this world, you will have what? Trouble. But he said to them in chapter 14, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Peace I leave with you. My peace give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. They were troubled. They were grieved. He spoke to them about loss and grief and separation, and they were already feeling that, and he was talking about it. And Jesus prepares them by telling them that they would not be alone. He said, I will send another comforter, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, who will come alongside you to help you. The Holy Spirit, his presence would be there even if he wasn't there physically. And he said this to them, I've told you these things, verse 33, one more time, so that in me you may have peace. I'm speaking to a vast audience today all over the place that is in turmoil, this unprecedented times, this uncertainties. And people are wondering, what is it going to be like? Oh, come on, remember when just a few weeks ago it was don't gather in crowds of 100. And then next thing, don't gather in crowds of 50. And then the next thing, don't gather in crowds of 10, and starting Monday, stay home. That'll bring you anxiety, won't it? How are you going to function? How are you going to serve? Well, some of you have been laid off. Some of you that are listening to me, you've lost your job already. When are we going to come back to work? I don't know. That doesn't bring you peace, does it? But Jesus said, in me you have peace. In me. The peace of God comes through relationship with Jesus Christ. This is literally a prophetic encouragement that Jesus is dropping into the disciples' ears as they listen to Jesus talk about their future. And the reality is what you and I are facing today is a part of that same feeling. We need assurance in the midst of uncertain times. Jesus said that we would need the peace that comes from relationship with him. Why? Because he said it this way, in this world, you will have trouble. I've underscored that in our slides here. In this world, you'll have trouble. What is trouble? Trouble in the original language is the very same word for tribulation. Not the tribulation. We're not in the tribulation, but we're in tribulation. We're in time of trial. We're in time of testing. You say, well, what do you really feel about the tribulation? Well, it's not happened yet because we're still here. The word is translated, here we go, oppressing. It is a squeezing. It is a pressure. It is an oppression. It is an affliction. It is distress. It is those things that the enemy uses to put you in your mind in dire straits. I have no doubt. I'm speaking to people today who are listening. You may be online, you may be in another country, you may be a part of this church family or another church family, but you are concerned about future things. I wonder if we're going to have enough to eat. I wonder what it's going to be like. Do we have enough paper towels and toilet paper? I wonder. Everybody's wondering the same thing. But Jesus said, listen, you need peace that comes from me, and don't worry about the trouble because I've overcome the world. People are anxious today because of the uncertainties that accompany this virus. We feel the pressing. We feel the squeezing. We feel the distress. John 10:10 says it this way. It teaches us that anxiety, hear me, is satanically based. Come on, chew on that for just a second. Anxiety, worry, is satanically based. It comes from the devil. Jesus said it like this. He comes to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come, however, that you might have life and have it to the full. The enemy presses your mind. He oppresses you. He distresses you. He puts you in dire straits. Why? Because he wants to steal your peace and your contentment. He wants to kill your relationship spiritually with God. He wants to destroy your soul. What is the soul? Got an answer for you. The mind, the will, and the emotions. That's your soul. That's something that never goes away.
Your soul never dies. Your will, your emotions are the basic proponents of a personality. We call it the soul. And we have to realize the works of the devil have already been destroyed. Jesus finished the work on the cross when he said, "It is finished." So what they can do now is just discourage you and distress you and bring you undue anxiety. The work has already been accomplished. Jesus defeated the devil on the cross. That's why he said, "Yes, you're going to have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome. I've defeated the devil already." Jesus told Peter in Luke 22, check this out, Luke 22, verse 31 to 32, that Satan, Peter, has desired to sift you like wheat. People are being sifted now. What does that mean? He said, "But I've prayed for you that your faith won't fail." When they sifted wheat in the Bible days, there was a vigorous shaking in the process. You know, now we have great machinery, those of you that are farmers. I used to work on the farm over in Pequimans County. And I remember in those days when we would pick wheat, and all you saw was the wheat field before you, and then you look in the hopper back there behind the seat in the combine where Ed Nixon would trust me occasionally with it. Run a few rows, give him a break, and the wheat falls into the hopper, and it doesn't have any chaff in it. All that's been separated. But in these days, in the Bible days, there had to be a vigorous shaking. I remember in the 90s when Pastor Joy and I went to India, they would throw the wheat fresh out of the field. They would throw the wheat in the street, and then they would just go out there in the street and just get the kids to do what? Trample on it. Just stand on the wheat. Let's sift it. And then what they would do is scoop it up, and as a vehicle came by and created a massive wind, they would throw the wheat up in the air, and you know what would happen? The chaff would blow away. And then the kernels would fall back to the ground. It was being what? Sifted. So what we have here in our society today is you and I are being trampled on. Hear me. We're being trampled on in our minds. We're being trampled on in our faith. And the enemy is trying to sift us. And Jesus says to the writers of the gospel here, to Luke. Luke has said, Jesus records this and says, "You're going to be sifted, Peter, like wheat. But here's what I want you to remember. I have prayed for you." Jesus says that. Can I just tell you today, if you were to ask the question, where is Jesus today? You know where he is? He's at the right hand of the Father. You know what he's doing? He's praying for you. He's making intercession for you. And in the midst of your shaking, in the midst of your sifting, listen, he's at the right hand of the Father, interceding the case of the saints, watching over us. The trial of your faith, yeah, it'll press you. The chaff of complacency gets blown away. I bet you. I can't wait. I saw a couple of GIFs on the Facebook the other day, a couple of little clips there that have, this is the first Sunday when the saints come back to church, and the preacher's coming down the aisle, and the church is going crazy. It's jam-packed, and they're high-fiving the pastor because they're so... God will deal with complacency. Sorry about that. He'll deal with complacency while we're in this consecration time. He'll deal with complacency. He'll deal with half-heartedness. He'll deal with the fact that you don't tithe your income. Now, you know what? People just want to make sure they do everything right. We cross all the T's and we dot all the I's. Why? Because we're in a time where Jesus could come back. Well, why didn't you do it before this happened? So God will allow the sifting to drive the chaff of complacency out of our lives. Can I just tell you something, make you feel a little better? God is already dealing with me, about me, okay? I'm the leader. Guess what? It only goes as it goes with the leader. Leadership is influence. It goes as it goes with you. You guys that lead the worship, you know what? People are not, more than likely, not going to worship beyond the level that you worship, because you are worship leaders. They're not going to put their heart in it far beyond what you do. Why? Because leaders lead. Leaders influence. And God is speaking to us during this season of challenge. And he's blowing the chaff because we all, like Peter, are being sifted like wheat. And God is clarifying things in our life. But can I just tell you something? This too shall pass. Come on, say that to yourself. Come on, say it to yourself. This too shall pass. It will pass. And on the other side of its passing will emerge a brand new you that will approach matters of the kingdom with greater sincerity, that will approach issues of the kingdom of God with a deeper depth. Amen. And as you do, know this, Jesus Christ is watching over you because he knows you're in the sifting right now. Romans 8, 34 to 39 as we come to a close here. I'll tell you one thing that's happened since this whole shakedown has come. Services are shorter. Amen. We don't have the announcements. We don't have the plates being passed. We don't have extra music. We don't have a lot of things. We don't have to say anything, you know, because guess what? Church is a little shorter. You know, we don't have the kids being dismissed. We don't have the check-in lines. We don't have all those things. But guess what? I want it back. Amen. I want it back. Romans 8, 34 and 39. Christ Jesus who died, Paul says, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God. I just said this a moment ago. And is also interceding for us. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble? Shall hardship? Shall persecution? Shall famine? Shall nakedness? Shall danger? Shall sword? Shall coronavirus separate us from the love of God? As it is written, verse 36, for your sake we face death all day long, and we're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Verse 37, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm convinced, Paul says, that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else, not even a virus in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We all face anxiety. We're all pressed. We're all distressed. We all question. We all wonder. We have things on our mind. In Africa, I faced demonic influences that literally visited my bedroom. And a few years ago, 10 years ago or something, I would have said, man, you're telling a story. That could never happen. I faced demonic spirits that came and visited me and began at my ankles and began to squeeze me and wouldn't stop until they got their pressure around my neck and was choking me to death. And all I could get out of my parched lips in the middle of the night, 2 a.m., was Jesus. And when I said Jesus, guess what? Everything changed. I woke up. The mattress was hanging halfway off the bed. The framework was turned around in the room. I'd had a battle with demonic spirits. You know, it may not be that bad for us right now. It may simply be a battle in the mind of worry and anxiety and how am I going to handle this? Well, the answer is not in getting a string of beads. And the answer is not in spinning something in your hand or biting your nails or drinking more. The answer is in Jesus. Because he said, listen, I've told you these things. John 16, 33. So that in me, you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. If you're listening to me today and you don't have the peace that we're talking about, I can tell you it only comes through Jesus Christ. And what he's looking for today is for you that are being dealt with right now in your heart. Maybe the pace of your heartbeat has just picked up a bit. Maybe you recognize the Holy Spirit has laid his finger on you right now and you find yourself troubled and anxious and he wants to bring you peace. What he wants you to do is confess your sin
Lord, forgive me. Wash me clean. I open my heart, Lord, this morning and receive you. Maybe for you, it's I receive you afresh and anew. I come back to you, Lord, because I've wandered from the fold. Receive me, Father, through the shed blood of Christ and what he did on the cross. Receive me and bring unto me the peace that I need to face these uncertain times and to deal with the anxiety that I deal with in Jesus' name. Amen. If that's you, hey, just on the Facebook feed, just put it like you did last week. We had several last week. I prayed the prayer. I read it over and over and over again. I prayed the prayer. Thank God people are able to respond. No, they're not in the building today, but you don't have to raise your hand. Just, hey, Pastor, thank you. I prayed the prayer. And then tell someone about it today. Tell someone that today you had a divine encounter with the shepherd. And he's enough for you. He's your shield. He's your protector. He's the shepherd. God bless you.
The presence of